The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is from blackenterprise.com and is titled, Lucia Restaurant Serves Afro-Caribbean Experience in Time for Caribbean American Heritage Month. An illuminating dining experience has arrived on the Los Angeles food scene, and foodies are welcome to drop by and enjoy a new restaurant loaded with Afro-Caribbean culinary treats. Hospitality expert Sam Jordan's Lucia restaurant officially opened on May 28th, just ahead of Caribbean American Heritage Month. Located in the historic Fairfax District, Lucia is making history of its own. A press release revealed that the destination has become the first restaurant in the city to present a modern take on Caribbean cuisine in a lavish setting. Lucia, which means light, brings bold flavors and rich heritage to the residents and visitors of Los Angeles. Guests will experience Caribbean culture at its finest as they gather to enjoy refined Afro-Caribbean food, exemplary service, and a luxurious atmosphere. Los Angeles has such a diverse food scene, but I felt there was a gap and underrepresentation for bold, soulful Afro-Caribbean cuisine with this modern, elevated approach, said Jordan. There are such unique flavor profiles across the Caribbean islands that make it hard to replicate in other locations. But in Southern California, we have this incredible range of produce and accessible products that allow us to stay truly authentic. So, what's on the menu at the luxurious Lucia restaurant? Adrian Fort is Lucia's executive chef, and the Jamaican-born culinary innovator has mastered a lineup of dishes that incorporates the foods, spices, and native fruits of St. Lucia, Trinidad and Tobago, Jamaica, and more. Guests may feel intrigued to try anything from Lucia's colorful bowl of loaded rice and peas to the comforting Guyanese oxtail pepper pot with butter beans. The menu also boasts Caribbean dishes like coconut fried chicken and fermented chili aioli and a marinated ribeye steak served with toem and spiced jus. To top off the dining experience, Lucia offers a lineup of around 15 tropical cocktails sorted by beverage director Melania Meza. Sourcing from a combination of Southern California and island-grown ingredients like soursop and coconut, Meza's mixtures highlight the bold, complex flavors of the Caribbean. Lucia's drink menu includes an okra martini with vodka, gin, pickled okra, lemongrass, thyme, bay leaf, dry vermouth, and escovitch. The oxtail old-fashioned, oxtail washed bourbon, and rye whiskeys, sweet potato liqueur, sugar cane and Creole bitters, and 12 to 14 wines by the glass, with half offerings from Black-owned wineries like McBride Sisters, Sun Goddess, and Sam's Red B. Beer Winery. Pair Lucia's drinks with any of the restaurant's island-inspired dishes like Bake Trini McPie, a staple of Trinidad and Tobago, and Salt Fig Croquettes, a play on St. Lucia's national dish. Lucia's 118-seat restaurant welcomes guests through a golden mirrored chamber before they are elegantly greeted by a breathtaking white terrazzo bar, which features three 18-foot verdigris sculptural palms designed by Preen Inc. and fabricated by Gorian Swing. Seated guests comfortably settle into one of the plant-patterned velvet booths that look up to towering shell domes and warm lighting. To master the brand identity, Jordan collaborated with Dominique West as head of cultural development. The space exudes energy, elegance, and a touch of sultriness, and is designed as an arena for culinary, musical, and social alignment. The press release stated, "Overall, the breezy outdoor nature of island culture is juxtaposed with the opulence of 1950s golden era restaurants. Step into an elevated Caribbean dining experience by making a reservation at Lucia on Resi." The next article is titled, "Celebrating Black Beauty, Nollywood Style. The Nolly Babes Movement is Reviving Bold Beauty Trends from Nigeria's Iconic Y2K Films for a New Generation of Women Across the Globe." In 2017, sisters Toshi and Ebeli shared a single image on their new Instagram account, a still of Nigerian film and beauty darling Genevieve from Sharon Stone in Abuja, a 2003 Nollywood classic. In the grainy frame, Naija exudes effortless femme fatale, dressed in a lace-up denim catsuit with her perfectly fringed peaking from beneath a scarf. Skinny hoop earrings dangled from her ears, and a delicate watch gleams on her wrist. The caption, "Simple yet iconic. Hashtag Nolly Babes." The profile at Nolly Babes started as a personal archive of bold fashion and beauty moments from Nigeria's prolific film industry's heyday. But with more than 69,000 followers, it has sparked a movement celebrating the era's distinctive style and influence. Across social media platforms, Toshi and Ebeli spotlight unapologetic characters, reintroducing this golden age to millennials while captivating a new generation of black women and taste makers worldwide. For the sisters, who own an archive of more than 300 physical copies of Nollywood movies, what began as casual exchanges of favorite scenes and epic face cards has turned into a passion for documenting and curating their unique take on Y2K Nollywood. As much as we brought it to attention, it is the lens with which we viewed it that really mattered, states Toshe, the elder sibling. Specifically, the beauty of the women and the men, the style of the people in the film, that was what captivated us and what we wanted to share organically. Nollywood's take on Y2K glam. Like most cultural trends, notions of beauty are cyclical, and the Y2K reveal is no exception. After years of supermodel aesthetics and 1990s inspired looks dominating the early 2010s, the late 2010s, and post-pandemic world have embraced the flashed and drama of the early aughts. For Black women, who are often overlooked in mainstream Western beauty narratives, Nollywood offers a dense visual repository that centers Black beauty. Moving from Lagos to Atlanta in their teenage years, the sisters clung to Nollywood as a reminder that the women they found beautiful looked like them. The accessibility and diversity of women portrayed in old Nollywood is a stark contrast to the monolithic approach of Western media. You saw Black women across the gamut, Toshi recalls. We had plus size and dark-skinned women. Women in the village looking beautiful and sophisticated, women in Lagos cashing out. There was beauty across all socioeconomic backgrounds. The Nolly Babes archive has reintroduced looks like pencil-thin brows and metallic lipsticks into mainstream beauty conversations. Beauty expert Whitney, the creative director behind an eponymous fashion brand, explains Nolly Babes brought a great deal of appreciation to what was less appreciated, referring to the Y2K Nollywood trends on TikTok. She continues, it's the perfect way to stand out. How many people can confidently rock paper thin brows, or better yet, draw on thin brows? Certain beauty looks have become synonymous with stars of the era. Eucharia sharp brows serve editorial chic, while Rita Dominique's signature afro puff enhances the quintessential party girl look. For the sisters, who describe a Nolly Babe as someone who is undeniably self-assured, nailing the distinct beauty aesthetic is about developing a genuine appreciation for the culture and embracing experimentation. A lot of people don't understand the vision, says Ebeli, of folks who tap into the trends without actually enjoying the films themselves. Toshi adds, matter-of-factly, you have to not be afraid to look ugly. Too many people still want to maintain hotness. Know your features, know your face, but you have to be willing to take a chance. Freedom in Black beauty. To beauty expert Whitney, the resurgence of old Nollywood beauty is about more than aesthetics. It's about reclaiming individuality, reflecting on what most inspires her about the women of Nollywood, she remarks, their audacity to command any room or anyone that dared to question them. That audacity transcends into looks that embolden and set our personality apart from the rest. What's even more exciting is realizing that these looks don't cater to current beauty standards. They are simply for the makeup lover or wearer to enjoy. On TikTok, a search for hashtag Nollywood Y2K pulls up thousands of videos showcasing creative takes on the era's glam. flipped out synthetic bobs and luscious afros, sharp lip liners paired with frosted lipstick, turquoise eyeshadow shimmering through a clear sunglasses, and of course, those skinny brows. For black women who've been raised to keep every strand of hair in place, the freedom to have fun and embrace imperfection is a welcome reprieve. According to Touche and Elabe, who routinely spent their Saturdays at Lagos salons watching those movies when they were growing up, their beauty influences weren't limited to Nollywood. They also admired Aaliyah, TLC, and other Black American artists. Black American culture, particularly through hip-hop, helped to shape the Y2K aesthetic globally, and this impact is evident in Nollywood. Jim, bad boy persona, echoed in today's new crop of male fashion trendsetters like singer Rama and media personality, beauty influencer Dinola Gray, can be traced directly to the inspiration provided by American stars like Cisco and others. Many of these fashion and beauty aesthetics were influenced by African American street style and beauty standards, comments Gray, whose bold beauty and fashion choices have earned him both a Fenty Beauty UK cosign and the eerie of the conservative Nigerian old guard. But contrary to what the latest spat of diaspora wars might suggest, old Nollywood and its resurgence demonstrate how communities within the Black diaspora are continuously in conversation, exchanging and influencing each other across borders. These revised Nollywood trends serve as a bridge between two cultures that have historically existed simultaneously but with minimal direct interaction. Gray says they reintroduce key elements of style and identity to a younger, bolder audience that is celebrating them loudly and collectively. Ownership and influence. On today's internet, where some cornrows have been rebranded as boxer braids and the line between cultural appreciation and appropriation is blurred, ensuring that Black women maintaining ownership of this trend is crucial to the sisters. Ebeli and Touche, who have distinct approaches to glam, agree on one thing about the Nolly Babe spirit. She is Black. At first glance, the Nollywood Babes platform falls under the mood board meets humor corner of the internet. But it's far more than that. Without social media back then, many of these aesthetics didn't receive the recognition they deserved, says Gray. Nolly Babes not only serves as a repository of entertainment history, but highlights an industry that often unconsciously created its own subculture. She emphasizes the role digital media has played in preserving and reviving old Nollywood. Reflecting on how far their little Instagram page has come in centering these trends, which can be seen on today's stars, including singers Tims and Ira Starr, the sisters are grateful for and amazed by its impact. They hope a sense of agency in beauty is felt by Black women embracing the Nolly Babe spirit. It's unfortunate because so much of global beauty standards are dictated by the male gaze, the Western gaze, the white gaze. So much of what we see as beautiful is dictated by something outside of us, Touche explains. In running Nolly Babes, it has been very affirming to lean back and have a sense of confidence in what I decide is beautiful. I get to say what's beautiful. The next article is titled Radiance Retreat. Justina Blakeney of Jungalow shares Black-owned decor items perfect for a beauty room that offers space for both self-care and glowing up. Traditionally, the bathroom has been a preferred area of the house to prepare for whatever the day will throw at you, from big meetings at work to errand runs to a date. But what if you could create a place for that prep plus much more? A corner that can serve as a soft, relaxing haven as well as the ultimate glam spot. According to Justina Blakeney, interior designer, artist, and founder of home brand Jungalow, it's more than possible. She would know. She's an expert at designing beautiful spaces filled with vibrant personality. I love expressing myself through color and pattern and bringing in items that reflect a part of me, whether that's my cultural heritage or places I have traveled, people I'd loved, experience I have had, Blakeney says. Layering these things together creates a sort of colorful, patternful, exuberant space. When it comes to helping her clients design their sanctuaries, including their very own beauty room, also known as a glam room or vanity space, she invites them to focus inward to decide what the room should feel and look like. She also encourages them to stay open to moving on from what has run its course, a timely reminder for the spring season. For me, the first step will always be a cleanse, she says. Let's purge what no longer serves us to welcome in whatever new energy is coming. Blakeney believes that adopting this method benefits Black women most. We should think about what we want to make space for in our lives, what's essential for us to cultivate from the inside out, and how can we have our spaces support that goal and that intention, she says. She suggests that everyone should have a queen space, an area of their home where they can tune into feelings of self-sovereignty, which is the concept of having authority over one's mind, body, and of being able to be their best selves. Making sure that they feel beautiful is an essential part of that. This new house that I've been in for the last few years is the first time I've ever had a space like that for myself, where I really can dedicate an area not just to making myself look beautiful, but really making myself feel beautiful. And that is so important, she says, of her beauty room. It's nice to have a fun, fancy vanity where we have all of our makeup and creams and bubbles and beads. And for me, I love jewelry. So I have all my jewelry hanging up on all my walls, and it's a way to also decorate the space. To create a glamorous beauty room, Blakeney encourages us to start with the basics, like nabbing a comfortable piece of furniture to sit on, selecting a unique lighting option, and opting for a dreamy color palette. The main design tip she wants us to apply when curating our beauty space is to be mindful. In her own home, she does this by cultivating a ritual for her vanity area that ends with a meaningful affirmation. Lighting a candle, for me, is always number one, because it's important to create an atmosphere where all of our senses are activated to bring in energy we want, she explains. What I love most about it is the ability to create space to express my dreams and what I want to call in. My affirmation in this, I honor this time for myself as an act of love and renewal. I connect to my body, my breath, and the beauty of this moment. I release what no longer serves me and invite peace and beauty into my body, soul, home, and community, and to our planet. A few of Justina Blakeney's selections: Bollée Road Textiles Omo Hand Towel in Cerise, $45. It adds a pop of color and a touch of luxury to your routine, says Blakeney. Hand woven with care, it's a reminder that even everyday moments deserve beauty. Michelle Black Charleston Marsh Mural in Golden Umber Clay by Megan Moulton, $530. The interior designer suggests incorporating art like this stunning piece. It brings the soothing tones of nature indoors, she says, and it's earthy design feels grounding, helping to cultivate a quiet pause in a busy day. MichelleBlack.com Soft Petal Scone. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I am Aver Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.